Welcome everyone to worship. What lovely weather we've had this week. Only one problem. Trade was down in the shop and the cafe at the end of the week, as I'm sure everyone was on the beach. Mind you, we did have a thunderstorm overnight on Thursday. Thank you to everyone for your best wishes for Elsie and I as we celebrated our wedding anniversary on Thursday. So now let us prepare to worship the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, we read that the Apostle John wrote to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever." Four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen. The angels, living creatures, and the elders in John's vision can be seen as representing all God's servants, those in heaven and those both human and non-human on earth. All God's creatures are singing at the tops of their voices. So come, let us enter the presence of the one who sits on the heavenly throne. Let us join with every creature in heaven and earth and add our voices to the choir of angels, worshipping and praising our Creator, the Holy, Most Holy One. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, Alleluia, Alleluia. Let's sing, all creatures of our God and King.
Thank you.
You know, sometimes it's hard to come to worship. Perhaps things aren't going so well. Tiredness has crept up on us. Busyness has drained us. Failure has robbed us of joy. Perhaps we don't feel worthy because of something we've said or done. But however we feel and whatever we've done, Jesus knows, Jesus understands, and Jesus offers us a new beginning. So let us pray. God of creation, you made us in your image, part of your wonderfully diverse creation, fragile and yet fantastic in your eyes. Be present with us today and all in all that we think and say and do. Meet us and remake us. Shape our hearts and minds that the pattern of our lives may better reflect your life. Lord, you have turned our sadness into joy. You have restored us to life. You have turned our mourning into joy. We worship you, O God. Lord, you call us to walk with you and to work with you as your disciples, your family. And so together we praise you with all our heart and renew our covenant to serve you with all our strength. Lord, we've gathered here from different places. We've all come with different needs. We've come with a longing to meet with you, Lord. And we know that you long to meet with all of us, to challenge, to call, to equip, to forgive and to strengthen. And so we thank you, Lord, for your amazing love for each one of us. Amen. Let us sing. I will sing the wondrous story. So we're still in the Easter season, and this is an opportunity for us to delve deeper into the events immediately following Jesus' resurrection, as the reality of the situation begins to sink in among his disciples and closest followers, as more and more of them see the risen Christ for themselves. You know, there is a danger that we get so easily simply to celebrate Easter, and then it's back to normal, whatever normal is. And this can result in a shallow and superficial understanding of the true significance of that world-changing event and all that led up to it. We, of course, have the advantage of hindsight, and we know that everything that happened to Jesus turned out for the best in the end, even when he was hung on a cross. At the time, though, these events will have seemed to Jesus' followers as to have been a disaster. A disaster from which there was no turning back. Many people in the world today are faced with a similar situation of despair in their lives. But we continue to pray that they will trust God, even in desperate times. This is why we need not just to celebrate Easter, but actually respond to the events of Easter. So our theme this month, in the lead up to Pentecost, is responding to Easter. In the wake of all that happened then and after, we truly must fully accept the new life in Christ, which is our totally undeserved gift from God. A new life lived now, and a new life that will result in eternal life. But as with all things, having accepted that new life, we can't just sit back and do nothing. We have to respond to what God is calling each one of us to do. Today we hear the account from John's Gospel of Jesus' meeting on the beach. That account is often given the title Breakfast on the Beach. At that meeting, Jesus commissioned Peter to continue his work, and he gives him the instruction to take care of my sheep. This, you know, is a call to each of us, to look after each other, to welcome everyone as Jesus did. So the theme of our meeting today is just that. Take care of my sheep. For God, the sheep that Jesus is referring to are everyone God created. So in our lives and in our fellowship, let us strive to build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live, a place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive, built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. Here the love of Christ shall end divisions. So let's sing, let us build a house where love can dwell.
Thank you.
In Psalm 30 we read, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favoured me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, what a gift, what a wondrous gift you have given us. Life, new life, life without end, life as you meant it to be, surprising, delighting, exciting. Lord, what a joy, what a wondrous joy you have brought for us. Life as you taught it could be, redeemed, eternal, reborn in me. Lord, what a truth, what a wondrous truth you have made known to us. Life as you show it to be, perfected and free. So Lord, help us to receive it, to enjoy it and to know it, that we might live to your praise and glory. Lord, we praise you, the living God, that when the nets of our lives are empty, you fill them with the abundance of your love. When we are afraid and fall down, you hold out your hand of forgiveness. And when we are tempted to give up, you call us afresh and give us strength for our journey. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. And Lord, we come to you this morning recalling your appearances to your disciples. We put ourselves in their place. We do so knowing that some things are hard to believe. And so we align ourselves with this frightened group of men and women, knowing that they were simply bewildered. They'd gone through the horror of watching you die in gut-wrenching agony. And afterwards, they'd run through a whole range of emotions. There'd been shock, hurt, grief and anger at your death. It had shattered their world. They really hadn't understood when you'd warned them of your coming death. And they just couldn't understand it now. They'd had to deal with a sense of guilt too. They'd run away, abandoned you to face it all alone, left you when you needed them most. Then they had the astounding news of your resurrection. They'd seen you alive again. Once more, we can see a sense of a mixture of emotions. Good news is hard to believe when you're depressed, but your appearances had left them in no doubt. Yet still they had no clear sense of purpose, no idea of what to do next. Lord, we know that there are times when we sit alone, human and very vulnerable. And yet you are there, walking the edges of our lives, calling us to one more effort, your presence tempering the dark, your sunrise scattering the mists in our lives. Lord, you know everything. You know when we have tried and failed. You know when we have let ourselves down and others down. You know when we have criticized too soon and understood too late. You know and you forgive again and again and again. And so, Lord, We bring our hearts to you to be cleansed, renewed, and strengthened. What a gift! What a wondrous gift you have given us. Life, new life, life without end. We lift our hearts full of adoration. And Lord, as we continue to celebrate the Easter event, we can't help but once again think of your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. And so many times we've wondered at your gift of life. Lord, once again we thank you for your unconditional love for each of us. Amen. Let's sing Jesus Christ once again. Thank you. pray. Lord, we come to you at the end of a week in which local elections have taken place. We pray for those candidates who were elected to councils and those who will now take on the responsibility as mayors. Lord, we pray that the people have chosen wisely. We pray that those who are elected will serve their communities with compassion and a heart for those they serve. And we pray for all those entrusted with leadership of your people across the world, for the administration of justice and the implementation of policies that affect the lives of millions. We pray that they too will have a heart for your people and not abuse the power they've been given. Lord, in all these situations, may truth be tended and integrity fed, and the way of Christ be followed. Lord, we continue to pray for the people of the world who are living in war zones. We pray for those traumatized by all that they have seen, heard, and endured. And Lord, our prayer is that they may encounter your risen presence in the ruins of their lives and the rubbles of their cities, and take courage from the Easter events when you turned the darkness of loss and despair into joy. Lord, we pray for all who are ill and those who treat them, who bind their wounds and care for body, mind and soul. We pray for those who are nearing the end of earthly life, that they may find comfort, strength and peace. We pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, who feel the emptiness and loss, who live with guilt and regret of things not said and deeds not done. And Lord, we pray for one another, for our families and friends, for those we worship alongside, for all those on our hearts we know who are suffering in one way or another. In the quietness, we bring you their names. Lord Jesus, breathe your peace deep into the hearts of all whom we pray for, and fill them with the knowledge of your presence. And as you taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, may we understand and follow your teaching, and follow your way and love one another and all creation. For you, Jesus, shall take the highest honour. You shall take the highest praise. Let all earth join in heaven in exalting the name which is above all other names, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's sing, Jesus shall take the highest honour. once again we pause to make our offering to the Lord. And I just want to thank everyone who's continued with their tithing to the Lord despite the economic situation we're all facing. Let us pray. Lord, bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make as we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to serve you and each other, as we care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. Lord, as we continue to celebrate the most special of days, we once again say thank you with all of our being for the risen Christ. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Today, the reading from John's Gospel has two main parts. The first part is a reminder of yet another of Jesus' appearance to his disciples after the resurrection. Again, we see that they are still finding it hard to believe. We see once again that Jesus is just so calm about the whole event. He's also very humble, actually just carrying on as if nothing had happened. As I said last week, he could have gone round expecting everyone to bow at his feet. Instead, he simply makes his disciples breakfast. Truly, true humility. The second part is very short, but once again, straight to the point. Jesus singles out Simon Peter to lead the disciples forward in continuing Jesus' ministry. The huge significance is that Simon Peter is the one who three times denied Jesus on the cross to save his own skin. Let's hear now from John's Gospel. The reading is from John chapter 21, verses 1 to 19. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have some breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. So, what's been happening to the disciples after Jesus' resurrection? Well, after seeing the empty tomb, Peter and the other disciples returned to their homes. Then, after meeting with the risen Jesus, and having then been offered peace and forgiveness, they again return home to their fishing. Now Jesus meets them back beside Lake Galilee, where they first believed in him. The familiar Jesus they previously followed is now apparently a stranger on the shore. This stranger asks, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He then said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. And suddenly, they realized this stranger was none other than Jesus himself. Wow. What follows is just so amazing. They just all sit down and have breakfast together, just as if all the events of the past few days had never happened. After all the roller coaster events of the past week, all the heartache, all the suffering, there they all were, Jesus and his little band of disciples, sitting on the beach having breakfast. The calm after a huge storm, something those disciples must have thought would never happen again. Their broken hearts mended, their doubts and fears gone, their guilt wiped away. You know, the Christian faith encourages us to believe that God is always with us and always committed to us. He forgives us. He hears our prayers. And what is more, he actually answers our prayers. He just loves to reveal his ways to us. He did all this for those first disciples, and he does it for us. However, we can't allow ourselves to be tempted into treating God as if he has placed himself at our command, to become so preoccupied with God being for us that we forget our need to respond. And that is just what the second part of our gospel reading is all about. For what happened next? Well, in a nutshell, Jesus gives the disciples instructions. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Take care of my sheep." Jesus was, of course, referring to his people, and he was handing over the responsibility of caring for them to Simon Peter. Indeed, it was an instruction to everyone in every generation since, "Take care of my sheep." Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not altogether sure I like being referred to as sheep. But I don't suppose Jesus was being derogatory with this remark. He was speaking in metaphorical language to describe the task that lay ahead for Simon Peter and for us. Jesus often referred to himself as the Good Shepherd. In John 10, verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And of course, as we know, this is exactly what Jesus did for us, laid down his life. And then in verse 14, we read, "I know my own, and my own know me." And then in verse 16, he says, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must also bring them, and they will listen to my voice." So when we read Jesus' words to Simon Peter, we do so in the context of the metaphor of Jesus as the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And we are the sheep he is prepared to die for, even those who are not in his fold. So I suppose I can live with that. And so the task that lay ahead for Simon Peter, the one which Jesus commissioned him for there on that lake, on the beach at Lake Galilee, was to take care of my sheep, by which he meant, of course, take care of my people. And by inference, we can say all people, even those not in his fold, even those who are not yet committed to the gospel message. Now, when Jesus appointed Peter to this task, it wasn't like he was appointing him to be a ruler or a prime minister over the people. Thank goodness for that. Or indeed, to be the Pope. Jesus wasn't sending Peter out on the campaign trail to be a politician or leader. Neither was he sending him out on some humanitarian mission as a global social worker. Although when Jesus talks about feeding and taking care, it could well be interpreted as such. Physical feeding, though, wasn't on the agenda. This was not a call to set up a soup kitchen or provide temporary accommodation for the homeless or refugees. This is not the primary message of the gospel here. What Jesus was talking about was feeding and caring of a different sort. He was talking about spiritual feeding, feeding people with the Word of God as it manifested itself in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Do you remember how Jesus was tempted in the desert? In the desert, the devil said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written that one does not live by bread alone." Jesus, of course, was quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, which says, "He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." This commission to Simon Peter was all about spiritual feeding. Feeding the Word of God. Caring for people with the Word of God. You know, almost every day we hear many appeals for food and money for disaster areas, the so-called homeless and refugees. But such aid is like trying to mend a leaking pipe without turning the water off at the mains. It might solve an immediate problem, but it doesn't stop it happening again. What people need is to hear the Word of God. They need to see the Word of God in action. They need to live as they were created to live, by the Word of God. With Jesus' commission to Peter, we are left in no doubt that this is a commission from God through his Son to feed and care for the people with the Word of God, both in word and action. We have confirmation of this at the end of Matthew's Gospel when Jesus gives his disciples the Great Commission. He says, "Go now to all peoples and make them my disciples. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I will be with you to the end of the age." Teach them God's word, says Jesus. And when Peter receives his instructions, it is to go and feed all people with the Word of God. This is about spiritual feeding with the Word of God, because it's by hearing the Word of God that people come to know Jesus. It's by believing that Word that people are saved. And it's by following the Word that we can live at peace with ourselves. Of course, Peter took his commission seriously. The apostles were first and foremost evangelists. They went all over the then known world, preaching the Word of God. And Peter was among those first evangelists. Peter was preaching the Word of God as it is, not his own version. In fact, being a devout Jew, he had great difficulty preaching to the Gentiles in the light of some of the Jewish laws, particularly the food regulations and the question of circumcision. In fact, he got himself in hot water with the Jewish believers in Jerusalem over this. But not only was the Spirit of God giving Peter the power and authority to preach, but the Holy Spirit was also giving him direction, helping him to understand his mission, and the power and the authority and the guidance came from the Holy Spirit. There are just so many examples of this in the Acts of the Apostles. It's like reading a manual on how to do evangelism. The Apostle Paul found the people of Athens coming to him and saying, "We would like to know what this new teaching is about that you're talking about." John Wesley said of the people of Bristol that they were hungry for preaching. You know, this is all so exciting. I believe that God is telling us that people today are still hungry for preaching. They want to hear God's word, whether they know it or not. And the most exciting thing is that anyone can give them God's word, because the authority and the power to do so comes from God himself through the Holy Spirit. And God's word is the truth. Do you know, I hate it when people say, "Well, to tell you the truth." What does that say about what they usually say? What they mean is to be frank or candid. Every word of God is the truth. It is frank and candid. And we, like Peter and the other apostles, are called to speak God's word whenever and however he directs, even at the risk of upsetting people. Because at the end of the day, it's for their benefit. Everyone who calls out to the Lord will be saved. And if you want to know what is God's word, you need look no further than the Bible, which is God's inspired word. Our Bible study passage this week is 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness." Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Take care of my sheep." Jesus is asking each and every one of us, "Do you love me?" And when we reply emphatically, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," then he says to us, "Take care of my sheep." And the best way, indeed the only way, to do that is to feed them with the word of God through our actions, to serve them in the way Jesus did, to be like Christ to them. My dear friends, we are all pilgrims on a journey. We're all companions on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. We are here to take care of God's sheep. May God bless us as we bring his word to all peoples through word and action, even to those, indeed especially to those, outside his fold. Amen. So let's sing, "Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. Let me be as Christ to you."
Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey. We're companions on the road. We in the night time of your
Let us pray. Send us out, Lord, not perfect creations, but always work in progress. Keep before us the vision of heaven on earth. Show us the way of life that is the pattern of Christ. Fill our hearts with the hope and promise of your ongoing work, a transformation in our lives now and every day. Now may God, who raised Jesus Christ from death, raise us all to a new life, new hope, and fill us all with rich blessings now and for eternity. And so now we go in love and peace to serve you, Lord, and to take care of your people with the blessing of our God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.